Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thanks again for joining with me on the Word Podcast. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we looked at the first 8 verses in the previous episode. And I'm going to go back to verse 1 and read this account again. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. And we're going to finish it up because I want you to see what the big picture is. This is a very, very organic thing. This is a very much a situation that we all encounter day in and day out about how do we deal with sin? How do we forgive? How do we walk in forgiveness? And remember, we saw in the previous episode that Paul said, hey, you need to affirm your love for this guy. The punishment of the majority has been enough. In other words, they had done what they were supposed to do, what Paul had encouraged them to do. The gentleman apparently had confessed, repented, came back, and he's saying, now you love on him. So here's 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1 says this. So I decided that I would not bring you grief with another painful visit. This is Paul speaking. Verse 2. For if I cause you grief, who will make me glad? Certainly not someone I have grieved. This is why I wrote to you as I did, so that when I do come, I won't be grieved by the very ones who ought to give me the greatest joy. Surely you all know that my joy comes from your being joyful. I wrote that letter in great anguish, with a troubled heart, and with many tears. I didn't want to grieve you, but I wanted to let you know how much love I have for you. Now, let me just state here. We forget that. You know, we think that not causing somebody grief and not telling them the truth, that, well, we're going to love them in that way, it'll be easier for them. No. The greater love is doing the very thing that needs to be done. The word of love, the word of correction, the word of rebuke, okay? Even though it may come and cause you great anguish, may trouble your heart, may cause many tears, even though it may grieve them, it needs to be done. Verse 5, I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, that gives us a little insight right here, because, you know, I mentioned I thought this might be related to the one that was having an affair with his father's wife. Well, I still think that's probably the primary thing. But you notice right here, there's something personal about this, that it causes you more hurt than it caused me. Sounds like somebody was personally doing something to Paul. And there was that element. There's no doubt when you see in 1 Corinthians, even what he said so far in 2 Corinthians, that people were saying things, oh, yeah, he says one thing, but he believes another. Could it have been the same individual that is doing that kind of stuff? Both things. Absolutely. Matters not. He's just showing us how to handle it. Verse 6. Well, most of you opposed him, he said, and that was punishment enough. Now, verse 7. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he might be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. Notice what they were to do. They were to forgive him, they were to comfort him, and they were to reaffirm their love for him. And we all know by experience that that point is where it gets sort of hard sometimes. Because, yes, we can say, yeah, we forgive you. Yes, we can say, yeah, okay, we'll comfort you, we love you. But what is the enemy going to do? Oh, yeah, the enemy's going to try to slyly sneak in there and put these little thoughts in your mind. But, you know, this guy really did this. Yeah, he did this and did that. This gal did this, he did that. And they say that they've repented. And they say they confessed. Yeah, they look good now and they act like it. But, you know, it's been 6 months from now and I'm not really sure. That is the way that the enemy will do things. As a matter of fact, Paul picks up on this. Watch this, verse 9. I wrote to you as I did to test you and see if you will fully comply with my instructions. Thought, wait a minute, are we supposed to test one another? Well, he's saying this. I sent the truth to you, and I wrote to you in this way to see if you would do it, see if you comply with my instructions. If you don't, I'm going to visit you. And he actually says this, I think it's to them, maybe at another church. I don't remember off the top of my head. But Paul would say something along this line. I'm writing you to let you know this before I get there. And I'd much rather you address this before I get there. But know this, that if you don't, when I get there, I will address it. So you've got a choice. Do you want this to be a joyful, loving visit, or do you want it to be a visit where I come and address the situations that you refuse to address? Are you going to comply with what the Lord wants before I get there or when I get there? You know, that kind of thing. That's what he's talking about. Verse 10 then. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit so that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. Aha! Well, there you go. He says, you know what? When you forgive this guy, I forgive him too. Now, he's not saying that my forgiveness is predicated upon whether you forgive him or not. No, he's saying, I'm going to forgive him. I have forgiven him. But when you forgive him also, we can walk in this forgiveness. And you know what? He says, I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven. And I do it with Christ's authority for your benefit. And you see, because a lot of times people say, well, I just can't forgive. I can't forgive. Well, absolutely right. Even as believers, we can't forgive in and of our own volition and our own flesh and our own soulishness. We forgive. We forgive by the power of the Most High God, which we saw at the end of the first chapter. Remember that? By the power of the Most High God dwelling within us. That's how we forgive. And that is how we walk in forgiveness. Why do we do this? So that the evil one, the adversary, so that Satan will not outsmart us. He will attempt to outsmart us within these arenas. Okay? And you've got to be really careful, because you will forgive. Everything's great and wonderful, and it truly is. But the enemy will seek for an open door. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but way down the road. Remember, even with Jesus, when Satan tempted Jesus three times, one of the Gospels says that he departed from him for a more opportune time. In other words, he left Jesus alone. He wasn't successful that time. When was the more opportune time that the enemy tried to come against Jesus? Well, we're not told point blankly. We're not told like, hey, this is that opportune time that was referenced earlier. No, we're not told that. But I tell you what, in the garden there, when Jesus is crying out and shedding drops of blood right before he's crucified, yeah, that was the opportune time right there. And then Paul says this, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. We are aware of what he wants to do. We're not unfamiliar with his schemes, one translation says, okay? We know how he works, and we are not going to give him opportunity to scheme. And the primary way, hang on here, guys, the primary way that I see Satan scheming and opportunities being seized is when believers refuse to walk in forgiveness. That's what he's talking about. Unforgiveness just throws wide open the door to all the strategies of the evil one. You have to be so careful with that. You have to walk in forgiveness, because we are familiar with his schemes. So he's encouraging him to do that. He's saying, hey, you know, come back, comfort this guy, okay? Forgive him, reaffirm your love for him, and get up and press on in the power and the presence of the Most High God. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.